This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're off and racing here from Kentucky Downs, here in Franklin, Kentucky. I am Brad Taylor, along with Will Hill. This is Live Bet Saturday, as we are coming to you live right above the Circus Sportsbook here at the Mint Gaming Hall. You can follow me on the Twitter, at BottomLineLex. You can follow Will, at not the Will Hill, two E's in that the. Will, how are you doing today? Let's get ready to rumble here on a Live Bet Saturday, 4 hours and plenty of action to come.
Brad, what's going on? A little baseball, pennant race baseball. We're getting the time of the year. Not a whole lot of time left in the last, you know, 5 or so weeks. Down the stretch they come, little preseason football. And this time next week, college football, the real thing, the games will count. So a fun time of the year, getting a little cooler here on the East Coast. And should be a fun show. Excited to do it with you.
Amen to that. Amen to that. But I have to start with something that might bring you down a little bit, Will. We don't like that on this show. We like happy, cheery Will Hill. We don't like the down of the dumps, Will. I saw that Yankees score today, and it didn't look good for the Yankees. They lose 4-3. So the Yankees now, they're still the second favorite to win the World Series. It's kind of one of those questionable lines. How in the world have the Yankees have been so bad? And they didn't even go under the total today. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Yankees now, since game number 82, halfway through the season, they're still 30-17 to the under. So they're still cashing tickets, like you told us several weeks ago. Go under with the Yankees second half of this season. They've been great so far. But this Yankees team now, and more exclusively, this Cy Young race. Cam Schlittler has been the favorite for over 2 months now. Dylan Cease gets the win today. He pitched very well. And he's a plus 135 now, with Schlittler about a minus 160 to win this Cy Young. Your thoughts on the Yankees futures and this American League Cy Young race there, Will?
Yeah, a lot to unpack there. And, you know, I was on with you a couple Tuesdays ago. I said, you know what, just bet the Yankees under every day until the market catches up, because they can pitch and they can't hit. Well, the market maybe finally caught up today. There were some sevens, but mostly 6.5, and it lands right on 7 with some late runs. But I think since that Tuesday, which is almost 2 weeks ago, like 12 or so days ago, they've gone over once, which was the next day, and then twice if you count today, the second day. It's been an under machine. You're just printing money if you're betting under on the Yankees. But it was a rough day for the Yankees, not just because they lose. And you mentioned it, Cease kind of flirted with a no-hitter, got to be 7 outs away. And he's had a few of these where he carries a no-hitter late into the game. Ryan Weathers, who's been outstanding for them, gets the start. He leaves, and these are the dreaded words, Brad, if you're a pitcher or if you're a fan of a team, you got futures, whatever, tickets. Forearm discomfort, left forearm discomfort, throwing hand for Weathers. He's been really good. Now Max Fried is, you know, supposedly close to working his way back through a bullpen, but it just seems like Giancarlo Stanton also out for the year. It just seems like every time, Brad, a couple of these guys start to come back, it's like whack-a-mole, where a couple guys come back, a couple more get hurt. They won last night and Tampa lost to cut it to 3. And that was the closest they've been in a while. They lose today. Tampa plays in an hour or so. But a rough day for the Yankees. They lose Stanton, they lose Weathers, and they lose a game. As far as the Cy Young race, I think Schlittler's the rightful favorite, but I'm certainly not laying $1.65. I think it's more of a coin flip. I'd say it should be more like $1.20, $1.30 Schlittler favorite, but you're splitting hairs there. I don't really see a bet. It would be plus money or anything for me, but I think more or less the market's about correct there.
We got a very discouraging text earlier today from our producer, John Lund, about the Stanton injury. And how many calves can this guy hurt during a season? 1.5 was the total. If you go over, that is the one that cashed, according to John Lund. Does that change how you think about your Yankees here, Will? The fact that Stanton looks like he's done for the entire season after 24 games and $29 million?
No, just because he was kind of out of sight, out of mind anyway. Hadn't played since, I think, April 24th. And I mean, he was running the bases, but the reports weren't like that he was anywhere close to coming back. I guess he was sort of inching his way there. But no, he'd been out of sight, out of mind. And here's the key to me. It's Judge. If you get Judge back with their pitching, and let's just say, you know, things break right and you get freed again. With the Yankees, it's a lot of ifs. It's a lot of hypotheticals, a lot of caveats. If you have a rotation going into the playoffs, Schlittler, Cole, Freed in some order, that's pretty damn good. The bullpen's been good. And you have a lineup with Judge, with Rice, Garcia, who they just acquired, Bellinger's coming back tomorrow. That's enough. So I think you can win it without Stan. The American League is so mediocre, so watered down, that I mean, it'd be nice to have him. And as much as he gets hurt, when he gets to the playoffs, go look at his numbers, the back of his baseball card. He crushes the ball in the playoffs. He's been a monster, but doesn't look like he's been crushing the ball this year. So, no, it doesn't change my opinion on Stan. It hurts, but I guess it's kind of built into the equation here that Stan probably wasn't going to be back and just kind of someone you'd forgotten about and really a lost year here for Stan.
Just a little sneak peek to tomorrow's game at the Bronx. It's Soriano versus Rodon. This line opened with the Yankees about a minus 150. It's already down to minus 140, the Yankees favorite here. Is there any way maybe you're leaning already for tomorrow's game, Rodon at home against Soriano here, Will?
What do we have for a total? I'm pulling it up now. I'd probably go back to the under.
It's,
I mean, that's the way I'd go. And it does sound like eight's a lot for a Yankee game right now. But go look at the last 2-3 weeks of scores. It's a lot of 3-1. 4-3 is a high scoring game. It's just hard for them to get the 8 runs with the way they hit, don't hit, and the way they pitch. Now, again, Bellinger's going to be back. That helps the offense a little bit, but you know, Spencer Jones has been playing well. I'm not sure who the odd man out will be, whether it's Jones or Ramos, but I would go under eight, if anything.
We will keep an eye on the vitals for Will Hill going forward. He's worried and stressed out about his Yankees. Drink your water today, Will. We're kind of worried about you after that game today. There is one game in Major League Baseball that's about to start before we get to some football. Cardinals and Phillies here. It's Painter for the Cardinals against Painter for the Phillies. That game's about to start. Phillies a big favorite. That went from minus 130 up to minus 155 a lot of places. Total went from 8.5 to 9. So your Phillies minus 155 right now. Total of 9. Any thoughts on this one? And they're about to go off in about 3 minutes here, Will.
Tempted to go under 2.5. You know what? I'll go under 2.5 in the first three. I actually like Matthews, a lefty. He's got good stuff. He's got good pedigree. And that's a lot of left-handed bats for the Phillies. So we'll get in a late. It's underway, but you can still bet it. That's at DraftKings. I'm actually going to bet it live. Under 2.5 is even money. Let's get a little early sweat going. I'll go under 2.5. I like Matthews, and I like the way he matches up against the lefty bats for Philly. We'll see what we get out of Painter as he does get the first batter of the game out. Weatherholt looks like he grounded out, so a little early sweat. And you know what? I'll keep talking. I'll keep rambling. If you want to jump in with me so we have a little show sweat, that's fine.
That's
with me.
That's what I was doing.
The live total, by the way, the live total, just going through this game here, looking at everything, it is, like you mentioned, Philly's a favorite, and anywhere from 8.5 to 9 was the total here, as we have one out in the bottom of the top of the first. Right. Philly up to minus 176, total down to 8.5. That's at DraftKings. And again, Matthews, I was impressed with him. Pitched pretty well. Worked in and out of trouble, but pitched Monday that doubleheader against the Reds when I was on a first 5-under that got home, and he did his part through five or six shutout innings. And against Toronto a couple of weeks ago, his only 2 starts in the majors, he was impressive too. Lefty, throws 95, 96. They all do these days. But I think that's a good matchup with the Schwarbers, the Harpers, all the left-handers you have to deal with when you're facing the Phillies.
Thank you for rambling there, Will. I was able to get my action down. I appreciate that very much. Another game today I want to ask you about, and the game yesterday. We see the Brewers took down the Braves again today, 4-1. That was Henderson over Perez, another Ashby save there. But that game yesterday, that total was down to 5.5 some places by the time we got to first pitch. When's the last time outside of postseason that you saw a total 5.5? Because I looked at it. I looked just kind of skimmed over. I don't know if I had seen one. We saw Cubs and Yankees get the 6 one night here earlier this year.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've seen a 5.5 for a while. Do you remember the last 5.5 total you've seen yesterday with Mizorowski and Chris Sale?
Not off the top of my head, but I remember back in the day, this was reserved for two aces. Lincecum versus Kershaw back in National League games where the pitcher didn't hit. Back in my day, we walked up to school both ways in the snow, that kind of thing. It was usually when it was no DH and you have the pitchers hit, and it was pretty much a free out on both sides for the first couple times through the lineup. But no, this is rarefied air where you got a 5.5, but I still played under 6. It got home. I had to sweat, and you're never comfortable when you're betting under that low of a total. But it's Mizorowski, it's Sale. I feel like when these pitchers that are so great match up against each other, they both know they're facing each other, and it brings out the best of them. So that was one, even though it was a low total, it wasn't low enough. That one still stayed under with some margin there.
Yeah, that was a good one to watch. That was a very interesting game, too, because I thought Sale and the Braves yesterday had the value as the road dog. I was on Sale yesterday. Didn't bring that one home, but I think if the thing kind of brought up again, I think I would do the same thing. Yes, we haven't forgotten there is NFL football going on tonight. We'll talk plenty about that, but I did want to set up the rest of the show coming up later. 7 o'clock Eastern hour, Mike Montesano is going to join us. And in the 8 o'clock Eastern hour, Jake Hassan is going to join us to talk all kinds of Major League Baseball. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, Brandon Kravitz, who is all over VSiN, he's going to join us, maybe with some fantasy stuff as well. By the way, Will, do you play fantasy football? Because this is the big fantasy weekend out in Las Vegas at the Circa. Do you play any fantasy football? Have you ever played without your big thing from back in the day?
I do play. It's still fun to just have the draft, get together with your buddies, bust chops, that kind of thing. When you bet like we do, it's hard to get that interest, that excitement, that rush of like, oh man, I lost my fantasy game in week three where, you know, we're betting real money, but it's still fun. It's more of a camaraderie thing. It does, from a betting standpoint, you can make the case both ways. You can make the case it wastes your time, it distracts you, you should be focused on betting. But you could also make the point from a player prop standpoint, you're more focused of like who's getting the touches, who's in, you know, who's running back is starting to get more of a look, that kind of thing. So you can kind of go either way with it, but I still play. It's still fun. How about you? Are you in any leagues?
Not nearly as many as I used to. Way back in the late 90s, my first little job was writing for Fantasy Football Index magazine because I had gotten lucky and won some big national things. But that was my thing, fantasy football in the 90s. I still remember my first league going Warren Moon and Thurman Thomas, 1990, back-to-back. It was the greatest time of all. But yeah, you're right. It's kind of a distraction now for big bettors. We got all kinds of Major League Baseball coming up and the NFL tonight. Let's get into it coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here in Franklin, Kentucky at the Mid Gaming Hall, I am Brad Taylor along with Will Hill. This is your Live Bet Saturday. Thank you so much for joining us. And, of course, Will Hill in his spare time outside of his he's basically on VSiN basically every day of the week in some way, shape, or form. He does the Shoulda Bet More podcast. And this weekend, he did it with Gil Alexander. They talked a lot of NFL. And before we get into some of these NFL games here, Will, and what's going on today, is there anything maybe before we listen to your latest podcast with Gil, and I haven't had a chance to do it yet, but I will this weekend, I promise you. Is there anything you could spoil, maybe a little spoiler you could give us, maybe your best bet from either one of you two that gave us, maybe a hot topic for that podcast that you that should have bet more podcasts?
No, it was just fun to have Gil on and just kind of talk. The thing I wanted to get his thoughts on and pick his brain about process, because just getting ready for the season, there's so much to do. There's so much to listen to and read and, you know, to attack from a betting standpoint, whether it's win totals or futures, awards, player stuff. Just kind of wanted to talk shop and pick his brain. So would encourage everyone, including you, to go download that and listen.
I will listen. I can promise you that. And somebody like me, I love the process more than I do the actual games. And that might be a little bit sick, and that might be a little bit wrong to do this. But the actually preparing and finding out and trying to hunt for the winners and hunt for the right things, that is more enjoyable to me than actually just sitting down with some wings and a beer and just watching the games and hoping that your investments come to the fruition. So, yeah. I love the process as much as anything. So, yeah, check out the latest podcast as well. But it is an NFL Saturday, if you can believe that. And we do have some games going on right now. There is a game in the third quarter. Rams are at home. They're shutting out the Saints 27-0. Obviously, the Saints had no reason to show up for this game. Live betting line, 26.5 for the Rams, total 35.5. Also going on right now, the New York Giants are up in Miami, 23-3. They're almost at the end of the third quarter here. Giants now live betting line 22.5, 33.5 in your total. We have seen other games go on today. We've seen two road dogs cover, and we've seen the game go under in two of these games. Dogs and unders have done very well so far. Anything that you're noticing so far, week two of the NFL preseason here, Will?
Boy, Watson was bad. And I didn't even see the final stats. I can pull up the stats in a minute, but I don't even need to see the stats. I saw some of the throws, some of the reaction. There's a classic clip of Denzel Boston, the rookie receiver for the Browns. Watson throws his typical duck into the ground, and they cut to the sideline, and Boston just puts his head down and shakes it. And I've been saying, you know what, you probably should just play Watson. Give it one last shot. You traded so much to get him. You gave up so much to get him. I mean, God forbid you cut him loose and he goes somewhere else and he revitalizes his career. Just make sure you milk the last possible ounce of football out of him. It looks milked. I know it's the preseason, but it has not been pretty. I wonder if they just ultimately say, you know what, it's over. Sunk cost. Let's just go with Sanders, the younger player. Fans probably get into that anyway. You know, that nobody really likes Watson. They at least drafted Sanders, kind of an underdog story. So that would be one. And he's been the favorite, you know, according to those betting markets and, you know, wherever you can find those, that who will be the starting quarterback opening day. It might be over for Watson. It might have been over for a long time.
5.5 wins, your Cleveland win total right now. And, of course, to win their division, they are at 21-1 just to win the division and 200-1 to win the Super Bowl. So are you telling us right now, Cleveland 5.5 wins, as long as Watson is the starting quarterback, there's no way you go over? Is that what you're saying?
By the way, Watson, 5 of 12, 36 yards, 1 interception, a QB rating of 14.6. Meanwhile, Shador, 9 of 11 with a touchdown. He did throw a pick, but that's not bad. I'm not going under because I actually don't mind the rest of the team. I think they've got a little bit of improvement, some underrated skill players with Boston and with Judkins that maybe they're a little bit better than people might think at the skill spots, and they always play pretty good defense, Brad. They always play pretty good defense, especially at home. So I was leaning more towards over. But the quarterback situation makes it hard to bet. I think if you're going to take a shot with them, I mean, I don't think the upside is there for them to make the playoffs if they ever did. And Femi Abebefe, I was doing the show with a couple weeks ago, was bringing up the point that maybe you take a shot on Monken, coach of the year. Maybe you take a shot on playoffs, and he's like 35-1 coach of the year. I think they've got some sleeper potential. I just absolutely hate the quarterback situation. It's hard not to.
If they announce Shador Sanders from week one, does that improve your kind of look at it? Because I think it does for me, but not a whole lot. But I'm like you, outside of the quarterback situation, this is a team that can win more than 5.5 wins. If you made me choose right now, yeah, I am going over 4, 5.5, especially if they can figure something out at quarterback. Is that crazy?
It's not crazy. Let me ask you, who do you think they start at quarterback? I put you in charge of the Browns. We appreciate your time at VEASAN, but you greener pastures for Brad Taylor. You're going to run the Browns. Are you giving the keys to Sanders, or are you going to give it one last shot with Watson? Congrats on the new job, by the way.
Sheesh. Yeah, VEASAN is like, yeah, don't let the door hit you on the way out. There you go, bottom line guy. But yeah, exactly. I think I would actually have to go with Sanders just because, not of what we saw today, but just because of the whole mentality of Deshaun Watson and his $200+ million guaranteed contract, and the fact that, well, do we really have to go through this again? And because it's just a matter of time before Watson goes, and then what? Now what are you left with? Shador Sanders? Yeah, I think I'd rather have that. But either way, I don't think you're in the great shape either way, if you ask me for that one. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll check out a little prediction market on that here shortly. So, yeah, we'll talk about some more NFL win totals as the night goes on. We did see some other games today. Buffalo, of course, took it to Cleveland 31-7. Washington goes to Detroit. Detroit wins that game 17-13. That goes under the total, and Detroit covers at the end. The Atlanta Falcons, 34-6 over the Indianapolis Colts. That one went over the total, and a big win for the road dog there. And Baltimore, they don't need Harbaugh to cover these point spreads in the preseason. 13-3, they cover as a 2.5 road dog at Minnesota. Now, wait a minute, Will. I know you're a big Minnesota guy. Is this a spot where now you're throwing your arms up in the air again? Should we maybe go back to J.J. McCarthy? What happened to the Vikings today in your eyes? They were a 2.5 point favorite here.
Yeah, didn't go back. Haven't watched a lot of that. Was flipping around and watching some of the preseason. By the way, we did give up an early run here in St. Louis, Philly, so we only got a couple more to play with. We had two on, nobody out. Now it's two on, two out, and a base hit. So an early run there for the Phillies. I don't take too much stock into it. I'll have to go back and watch some of the game and read some of the reports. But it's hard with multiple games going on at once to watch all of it and kind of digest all of it. My one big takeaway from the afternoon was Watson watched a little bit of Washington and Detroit. Jaden Daniels got absolutely smoked a few times. And with no Tunsil, with Daniels' inability to stay healthy and stay in the field, that would be another takeaway. That would be a concern. But didn't watch much yet of Vikings-Ravens. I'll catch up in that with that game at some point, as we might be in some early trouble here. I think we're going to lose our first three under. So not a way we want to start this, as it's three runs all with two outs unless we make a play at the plate, and we don't. So my bad there. All three runs all with two outs, and we lose that one. But we've got some time here on the show to get it back. But, yeah, I watched, again, Washington-Detroit. I watched some of these other games. But you tell me, did you watch any in Minnesota-Baltimore? And are you at the point yet where it's like, all right, preseason's been fun, it's been good to have it back, but I'm ready for the real thing?
Oh, I'm ready for the real thing, but I'm still playing these preseason games, because history tells me the road dogs do very well. And we've seen more road dogs do well today, especially the ones 3 points or less. We've seen all three of them, well, two out of the three cover, and one of them almost covered. Detroit barely pulled that one off against Washington. But yeah, I did pull up the Cleveland on the Kelsey, on the prediction market. Right now, to start opening day, Deshaun Watson 61%, Shedeur Sanders 39%. So that's where the prediction markets are saying right now. They are saying that Deshaun is your choice there. Maybe a little pizza money on a little Shedeur Sanders week one starting quarterback, because I know if you had done this a few hours ago, I don't think you would have gotten nearly the same odds as you would have today because of what you saw in that game in Cleveland this afternoon.
What were those odds again? I missed the number. What do you say for the prediction market?
It was 61-39 for Deshaun Watson to start week one, and that's at Kelsey.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably some value if that number is around that on Sanders, because at some point you just, again, sunk costs, move on, and just kind of get the stink out of him, because I think Watson is a symbol of the past, a bad move. It was almost that feeling when the Lakers and Luka, that trade with Anthony Davis, where eventually Dallas said, let's just get rid of Anthony Davis just because he's a symbol of what a disaster that trade was, and let's just kind of move on from things. I wonder, maybe it's preseason, you give him one more shot in the regular season, you give him a game or two, but at some point here, it's probably going to be Sanders at quarterback, for better or worse.
NFL's great, but week zero is a week away. And with the NFL regular season right behind us, time now to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today and get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. You'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with the VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now, vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. More coming up here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here in Franklin, Kentucky, right above Circus Sportsbook at the Mid Gaming Hall, I am Brad Taylor, along with Will Hill. This is your Live Bet Saturday. You can follow me on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Follow Will, not the Will Hill. Too easy that the, as we're watching the NFL and Major League Baseball. And speaking of Major League Baseball, we have got seven games that are going to start at the top of the next hour. Several of them are kind of sleepers, but one that kind of sticks out in my mind. The Cubs are in Seattle here, and you've got a pitcher, Kyle Anderson, who has never pitched a Major League game yet, but he is somehow, the Mariners, are a favorite in this game. Cade Anderson is your pitcher for the Mariners, a big hot shot in the minor leagues. And the betting splits in this one, we have seen that this line opened with the Mariners a minus 120 down to a minus 115. Public is all over the Cubs here. 60% of the tickets are on the Cubs to win this one. 86% of the money is on the Cubs to win this one. Here's an old theory here, Will, when it comes to handicapping I've heard for decades. Anytime you see a rookie pitcher, first major league start, always put money on him, because that team will do anything to make sure that rookie wins his first major league start. Are we seeing something like that tonight, or should we just take the Cubs, who are probably the better team right now?
Yeah, I mean, I love theories like that and the old school handicapping. The problem is you go through the data with that, I'm not sure it bears it out, where, and look, anything over a long sample probably evens out. But you got a lot of guys who, you know, he's 26 and he's finally called up to the big leagues and he just needs to fill a spot and he gets hammered and he loses because he's just not that good. This is a different case. Anderson is a stud. I think third pick in the draft, big time blue chip prospect. That being said, there's two ways to look at this, which kind of leads me to probably passing the game. The Cubs are really good, and the Cubs hit lefty, so you're going to pick this kid out of the minors. By the way, he skipped AAA, went right from AA to the big leagues. So I'm going from AA to pitching against one of the best lineups in baseball, and I'm just expected to have this kid dominate right away. That being said, the other thing about backing pitchers that haven't pitched in the big leagues before, these guys in the Cubs haven't seen him, especially a lefty you haven't seen with good stuff. You're going to go up there, and maybe that first time through the lineup, maybe that's the way we play it, where you go with a first 300. I know we got burned here with Philly and St. Louis, but it's kind of a push and pull between, yeah, he's really good, and they haven't seen him before, and that's a reason to like this kid Anderson to do well. On the other hand, the Cubs are really good, and you're just going to throw him into the fire against a really good team and expect him to do well. That's asking a lot. I'm going to pass. I can't wait to watch. I love when these – it's still one thing I love about baseball, when big-time prospects finally get called up, whether it's a hitter and you finally see them bat and their stance for the first time, a pitcher, you see them in the uniform, you see their motion and their windup, all those things. I'm excited to watch him pitch. You know, I can remember the Skeens debut. I can remember years back the Steven Strasburg debut. It's fun, and I don't know if this kid's on that level, but he's really good or supposed to be really good, so I'm excited to watch it. I just don't know how to bet it.
That's a good point. I still remember the Strasburg thing. That was 2009, and the Nats were going nowhere. And yeah, that's old. That's a long time ago now. But the thing that kind of interests me about this tonight, we saw this total open at 8.5. It's down to 7.5, and it's not like the Cubs are sending out Greg Maddux in his heyday. They're sending out Peterson, 5.29 ERA. So we've seen this line go from 8.5 to 7.5. Classic reverse line move. You look at the betting splits here. 90% of the tickets, 89% of the money is on the over. That smells of a reverse line move to go under the total here, especially with a pitcher who's never pitched in the major leagues before. It smells like an under to me, Will. What do you think?
So you want to go, what, you want to go under? Or you want to go over, you're saying?
I will go under. I will go under based on the betting splits. Not my baseball intellect, but that's what the betting market is telling us. It's saying all the money is on the over. How come this line started at 8.5 and it's down to 7.5? That's somebody telling us something, maybe a little sharper than I am, that maybe the market. So I'm playing the market here in this one. I'll look to go under the total Cubs and Mariners. You can come with me if you don't, if you want. I understand if you don't. I completely get it. But like you say, with these first-time starters in the big leagues, no matter how hyped they are, it's still tough to really put a figure on it. But the fact that the Mariners are still favored against the Cubs team, which has been so hot, that's another thing, too, that kind of tells you this might be a good spot to back the Mariners. But I'm going to stay away from the side. I will play a little pizza money on the total here, under 7.5 in that one. We see several games also in Major League Baseball. Are there any other games that start at the top of the hour here that kind of interest you? Because I see Tarek Skubal and the Dodgers minus 260 most places against Jones and the Pirates here. Total 7.5. Would you really lay this kind of chalk? I think the Pirates have the value, but I don't think I can pull the trigger.
I never lay this kind of chalk. And the Dodgers, anytime they're against the Pirates, especially at home, they're going to be a big favorite. And they actually blew a 4-2 lead last night, went to extra innings. O'Neill Cruz hit a home run to tie it. But then the Dodgers, two outs and two strikes, walk off the Pirates. So that's the thing when you get these big dogs. It's one thing to keep the game close and get the extra innings. It's another to actually, pull it off and you'll get the win. And the Dodgers seem to have righted the ship a little bit, went to Colorado. They were struggling, weren't playing well. They went to Colorado, got the sweep there, and then they go to, they go back home and they get the first game against Pittsburgh. So maybe Dodgers getting back on track and getting healthier here. I know the bullpen is still an issue. I like under 4 in the first 5. Jared Jones, to me, is one of the more underrated pitchers in baseball. Dodger lineup starting to show a little age with Betts and Freeman and some of these guys. Tucker's been a disaster. Skubal has not been like lights out, sharp as attack, unhittable Skubal that we've known in past years as a Cy Young winner, but he's still really good. That 4 is a key number. I'd like 4.5, but the 4.5, you're really paying with the juice, minus $1.45, $1.50. I'll stay away from that. I can understand the sentiment for the Pirates. I don't have the guts to pull the trigger, but I will go under 4 in the first 5 here. Give me a 2-1 after 5, something like that. I think we get a pretty well-pitched game.
That's a good call by you. That's I think I'm going to have to put that on the next commercial break, so... So under the first 5 there for Will with Pirates and Dodgers under the first five innings, the four runs in the first five innings. That's a good one there. So I'm going with Cubs, and I will also take the Mets in against the White Sox and Luis Castillo. You're not. This is kind of almost a dog to favorite line move here. This line is kind of split right down the middle. Scott going for the Mets. Castillo coming off two pretty good starts for the White Sox. Am I crazy for taking the Mets on the road against the White Sox in Chicago here?
I'm not playing it. I don't know what to make of Castillo, where he had been kind of having an off year, not kind of having an off year. He had been having an off year for the Mariners. He goes to the White Sox, one mediocre start, one dominant start where he's got 10 strikeouts, and he looks like the Castillo of all the members. He used to be a really, really good, boring, dominant pitcher. So maybe the White Sox have uncovered something with him. And you know, you get that sometimes these guys go to a new team and it's pitch usage. It's a mechanical tweak and they can look like a different pitcher. I like Scott. It would be a lean towards the under 4.5 or maybe under 2.5 in the first three. I'm not playing the side, just a lean towards the first five under here.
That Castillo gem, that 10 strikeout night, that was against the Reds, his former team from the early 2000s, late 2010s. So he had a little bit to show them. One more game we'll hit on a baseball. Tampa and McClanahan going tonight against the Orioles and Young, 3.52 ERA for Young. Are the Rays the play here in this one, Will? Because I think right now, I think McClanahan's the guy.
I like McClanahan better than I like Young. The 125 to me is cheap and playable enough where you could play Tampa. So I like Tampa. And this is a big game. Baltimore is right in the middle of that mess for the final wildcard spot. Tampa is trying to hold off the Yankees. They get a little help from Toronto today. Yankees hadn't lost in about a week. They lose today, so Rays got a chance to get this back up to a four-game lead. I think they do. I think Tampa wins. This is a rematch from Monday. It's always a little bit of an interesting, you know, angle when you have two teams that saw the starting pitcher so recently. I don't know that it bears anything in the data because conventional wisdom would say, well, I just saw this pitcher 5 days ago. It's easier to hit him. I don't know that the stats bear that out, but it is something I thought was at least, you know, worth mentioning, worth bringing up. But I'll say Tampa wins the game here. I think the 125 is okay with the starting pitching advantage.
Yeah, some places this is a little higher than minus 125. It's 125 at Circa, so shop around at that. This line opened a lot of places minus 120, so this line has been going towards Tampa throughout the day here today. Total 8.5 in that one, but yeah. You can tell the sharp money, 60% of the tickets, 75% of the money is on Tampa. So that's definitely a sharp way to kind of look at this. Anything else Major League Baseball for the 7 o'clock games before we get out of here and maybe look at a little football next segment here, Will?
No, I think we covered it. Excited to watch Kate Anderson. This is actually a pretty good, you know, for a random Saturday in August here, this is a pretty good slate. A big Rays Orioles game. Scooble going for the Dodgers, and that's a exciting game. And then Kate Anderson, watching him go for the Mariners. One last one I would mention, and this is a pretty big game too, is the Tigers are fading. I think the Tigers, I'm not going to play it. I think they're a little bit cheap though against the Royals. If they've got any hope of clawing their way back into it, and they're still, you know, well within shouting distance as most of the American League is, you got to take care of business. You got to win some of these games against the Royals. They lost last night. They haven't been playing well. I would lean towards Detroit, but don't want to have too much action here on a Saturday, so I will hold off and pass.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having too much action on the week before week zero, Will. Come on now. Nobody likes a quitter. Come on board. Come on in. The water's fine. It's okay. I watched that game. I wanted to take Detroit so bad, I just couldn't do it. I really couldn't. And the line's been moving towards Kansas City, or towards Detroit a lot today. But that's all good and dandy. Well, we've got National Football League games kicking off at the top of the hour, too. We're looking at some of those and where Will and I are going to go in those games as well. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In Franklin, Kentucky, here at the Mid Gaming Hall, right above the Circus Sportsbook. I'm Brad Taylor, along with Will Hill. It is Live Bet Saturday as we're watching lots of Major League Baseball about to start. Several games starting at the top of the hour, but there's also a couple of NFL games starting at the top of the hour. Right now, though, fourth quarter, 4:49 to go. Rams up 27-0 on the Saints. That current spread is 30.5 for the Rams, 31.5 your total.
Yeah.
And down in Miami, 7:53 left in that one in the fourth quarter. Giants, Harbaugh doing it again, not just at Baltimore. He'll cover the spread here this week with the Giants as well. They're up 26-3 on the Dolphins. Live betting line, Giants by 23.5, total 29.5 there, 7:53 to go fourth quarter. So that's what the NFL's got going on right now, but we've got two more games that are starting at the top of the hour. One of them is in Cincinnati. We've seen a very interesting line move here. Bengals opened this one as a 2.5-point favorite. Total was 40.5. And now as we sit here currently, the Bears are big favorites in this one. This has moved, literally it's moved since we've been on the air here. A lot of places Bears are 3.5. I see some places now they're up to 4.5-point favorites, but the consensus still says 3.5. Bears over the Bengals. Total has gone from 40.5 to 37.5. This doesn't fit any of my little criteria to play preseason games well. So as of the moment, I'm going to pass unless you can talk me into something, especially with this line move really going towards the Bears in this one.
Yeah, the late line move, Brad, is usually indicative that somebody knows something. And Brad Biggs, who covers the Bears, tweeted this out. Looks like the Bears will play a good chunk of starters tonight at Cincinnati. Doubt they're in the game long, but with the next practice until Tuesday, signs point towards first stringers starting. And then he goes on to tweet that Swift, Tooney, and Jarrett, all starters, were not in uniform, but Caleb Williams was. So you're probably not going to be in uniform unless you're playing. So I'd imagine we see Caleb Williams and some of these starters for a series or two. We've seen the first half take a lot of action. Here's the problem, though. First off, you're late to the number, and now you're laying 3.5, where a half hour ago you could have laid 1 or 1.5 or a cheap money line. That's the first problem. That's a big problem. And the second problem is, you know, you go through this thing where, all right, I'm going to lay the number because they're playing their guys. Well, they play their guys a series, and it's, you know, they go 3 and out and they punt or they kick a field goal. All of a sudden, you're laying a big number. And to me, anything over a field goal in the preseason is a big number. You're laying a big number where it just becomes kind of a toss-up between, you know, these backup quarterbacks and third-string quarterbacks. So I would pass. I don't want to fade this line movement, but I don't want to jump on the bad number and lay the 3.5 either.
Yeah, it's a spot where we've seen so far in this preseason, following the line moves has not been a good thing to do. Going the other way from the line moves has been the best way to go. Does that change the way you're looking at things maybe just in preseason games, kind of fading the line moves? Especially we've seen this line go from Bengals 2.5 now to Bears 3.5, some places more than that. That's a touchdown.
Yeah, and some of the guys I know who bet the preseason pretty well did badly, like you said, did poorly week one, but made a comeback in the first couple nights of week two. And it's interesting, some of these lines, there's definitely, it seems like a battle between groups, because I'll give you an example, a game that's about to start, a couple of them actually. Bucks were anywhere from like a 2 or 3 point favorite on Monday when these lines opened. Got all the way out to 5.5. Somebody liked the Bucks. That thing's right back down to 3.5, so somebody seems to like the Chiefs. And, you know, to do with that what you will. Another one, Eagles and Patriots, was around a pick'em. A lot of these games are open, you know, around a pick'em where the books really have no idea and they just kind of wait for the bettors to hammer it out and try to come up with the fair number. That went up to Eagles. I don't know if it touched 3, but it got to 2.5. We're down to, like, basically a pick'em. There's some 1.5s again. I wouldn't lay the 1.5. I would just pay the extra juice with the money line because these teams, there's no overtime, and they try to avoid a tie late where you're going to get some 2-point conversion attempts if you're down 7 and the game can land on 1, it can land on 2 if there's enough time for a field goal try on the other end. So I actually like, and I'm curious if you have a feeling on any of these games that are about to start, the one I like the most out of all of these three that are about to begin, the Eagles. I like, and we're not going to see Hurts for the Eagles, we're not going to see May for the Patriots, but that quarterback rotation of Tanner McKee, who I know a lot of people like, people think there's something there, could be a starter, you know, there's some ability. He's looked good in limited time at times, whether it's the preseason or regular season, and kind of mop up duty. And Andy Dalton, that's better than DeVito and these guys that the Patriots have. Plus the Eagles look like crap last week. We were doing the show Saturday night and they were like a 3-point favorite. I think it was against Baltimore, and Baltimore absolutely smacked them. These teams don't want, even though the games don't count, Brad, they don't want to just get buried and lose by 20, 30 points every week. So maybe a little bit more emphasis. I'm sure they heard it all week at practice. Hey, you guys look like crap. You played like crap. You got to play better this week, that kind of thing. I actually like the Eagles minus the 120 or so here to win. So that would be the one I like out of these three. How about you? Anything you like among these three?
You made a good point with the Eagles, and you took them on the money line, kind of getting rid of that point and a half you've got to lay. New England started this as a favorite, that one. They were consensus point and a half favorite. And like you said, this line has been hovering around the three. But right now, the Eagles are settling in as a point and a half favorite. Total went from 36.5 to 37.5. I'm going under on a 7:30 Eastern time game. That's about, 40 minutes from now. Kansas City and Tampa Bay. We saw Kansas City. You talked about that one earlier. They opened a three-point favorite here in this one. Now Tampa is a 3.5-point favorite. Again, another touchdown-esque kind of line move, but a dog-to-fade line move here as well. And but anytime we see that home team favored, I like to go under the total when that total is more than 37. And you have that here today, 37.5. If you do that over the years, you hit over 57.5%. Yes, that's my little system of the night. But I try to stay disciplined to these systems, especially in the preseason. When you don't have power ratings to go on, all you have is information. I'm going under Kansas City and Tampa under the 37.5 right now. Will, your thoughts?
Understand it. Not going to play it, but I could certainly understand it. It's interesting, again, that line. You know, Tampa, there was love for Tampa. Now there's love for Kansas City. We're sitting right at Tampa minus 3.5. One I would look at, and I know we got some time. I like the under Dallas, Arizona later, 38.5. And I'm not sure. I think you're with me on this one. These teams play week 8, November 1st. This is a little angle that's been pretty profitable over the years, Brad. When teams are going to play in the regular season and they meet in the preseason, usually they don't show too much. Let's be ultra vanilla. Let's not use any of our good plays. Let's not show anything that we might use. And it's just a lot of handing the ball off. The clock runs. I would look towards under 38.5 Dallas and Arizona just for that reason alone.
We sat here last week and watched Dallas go to Seattle. And Dallas was about a 2.5-point underdog there. And the total was about 37.5, 38.5. And we're like, hey, let's go road dog. Let's go under the total. Boom, they both hit. Same thing again tonight with this one, Dallas and Arizona, 10 o'clock Eastern start, right after we get off the air here. Again, Arizona, 1.5 favorite, 38.5 your total. It ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm going back in. I'm with you on the under in this one for sure. I'm going under that 38.5, and I'm taking Dallas, getting the 1.5 on the road here. I don't know how they kind of got off to play the first two games on the road, Dallas, in the preseason, but I do have a story, Uncle Bradley story time here, Will. 1980. Uh-oh. I remember watching this kind of faintly. Cowboys and Steelers played a preseason game on national TV. Well, it was Friday nights. Oh, yeah, I'm a kid. Woo, we're getting ready. They played that game so hard. And if you go on YouTube, you can find it. Staubach, Bradshaw, they are both playing. And they are both teams are beating each other up. Starters play the whole time. That was a preseason game. So, yeah, times have changed a lot. But, yeah. Now, even back then, the preseason meant a lot more than it does today. I don't know if you remember preseason games that were played to that extent there, Will.
Yeah, I mean, look, for years, Parcells was a guy that absolutely cashed on preseason. And different guys have different philosophies. It's almost like, Brad, the defensive guys, and which kind of makes sense if you think about it, just from a philosophical standpoint, personality. Parcells said, hey, there's a famous clip of him during a preseason game. His team is stretching. He points up and he goes, you see that thing? It's called a scoreboard. As long as it's there, we're playing hard and we're playing to win. Bill Walsh, another great coach, just as equally great as Parcells. I mean, you can argue about who's better, but both, you know, all-time great coaches, more an offensive coach, obviously. He wouldn't really take the preseason seriously. Just don't get my guys hurt. McVay's kind of in that line of thinking, offensive coach. So I think offense is like, all right, I want my offensive guys healthy. I'm kind of, I want to win with my quarterback, my offense. I think these defensive guys are like, all right, let's show some intensity. Let's practice like you play, that kind of thing. So I don't know if there's a right or a wrong answer, but I know for years, Parcells, when I first started betting, was an absolute cash cow for preseason bettors. I'm sure you remember those days as well.
Yeah, that was before I was smart enough to bet preseason. I was one of those, I'm not going to bet the preseason. I was one of those people. So let's bottom line it. Will likes Philadelphia. Big is his play to start the top of the hour here in these NFL games. I'm kind of like the under in Tampa and Kansas City. So those are our best bets, I think, going into the NFL here. But most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea, matched betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value whether or not your side covers. And Ungamble backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/VSiN. That's ungambled.com/VSiN. And use the promo code VSiN for 10% off. Be sharp, look square. Top of the hour coming up. A lot of baseball to get to. Stop at the next hour. That's next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.